My solution has now helped 150,000 souls. So in all guerrilla marketing. So I didn't do any of the funnels and the drops and the clickbait and all that. I wanted to know, if you believe in something, would you actually share the story? Would you share it because without being paid? Just do you believe in it? And that is what I'm doing with Not On Our Watch. We're here, board members, to also help our children.
Welcome to the Who You Know Show, where what you know is important, but who you know can make all the difference in your business, career, relationships, and life. I'm super excited. Today we got a very special guest. We're here today at the Not On Our Watch Texas event, and I'm here with Sherry Matthews. And on this episode, we're going to talk about some of your engineering professional background. You're a breast cancer survivor, an advocate for education and empowerment. Sherry's going to share her remarkable journey from founding Harlan Comfort?
Heal and Comfort.
A company specializing in post
mastectomy
garments.
Cancer terms.
She's going to have help me through this episode, as you can see. Okay. Because, you know, some of these words, here we go. A company specializing in post mastectomy garments. To her pivotal role in establishing Raw S99 MedTech?
Yeah, it's a MedTech startup helping cancer patients. Yeah.
Amazing. And so my first question for you, Sherry, I really like to dive in is, you know, what led you to be here at this event? And what, you know, what got you involved in the initiative of helping to bring awareness to, you know, stopping some of the child sex trafficking that's going on?
Yes, well, first of all, these are my people, LB and Rebecca and everybody, that's our tribe.
Okay.
And we really do put a lot of effort on this planet of being professional women and also lifting up causes that can actually make a difference for others. Mm. So not only am I here because I am a BFF of these tribal members, wonderful humans, I deeply, passionately know from the bottom of my soul we have to all do something to help this terrible onslaught of what's happening online with our children. So I'm super honored to actually serve on the board of Not On Our Watch.
So you mentioned this is your group of girls. This is your clique, right? So how did you meet LB? And how did you get involved with the clique?
Well, we kind of like all attract one another because you can find similar souls and people with missions and visions like this as a professional, right? Well, we went to a lot of different events together. One person meets another, and they kind of do the little screening in the sense of, I'd love you to meet LB, and I met LB and fell in love right away. She's just a ray of sunshine. Plus, she's an amazing builder and a visionary. Mm-hmm. Very creative, which I love. So, yeah, and then, of course, in Rebecca, same type of circles and introductions.
Yeah.
So I just think it's people that really want to, they attract one another, because like when you get together, when two or more are together, you actually have more power than just being all by yourself. So
your journey from being a breast cancer survivor to a successful entrepreneur, right, it's pretty inspiring. Can you tell us about the motivation behind starting Healing Comfort and the impact it's had on the lives of the post mastectomy patients?
Sure. Well, first of all, I went through breast cancer, and it's not in my family. I was like organic eater, exerciser, doing everything right as far as what I would concern. And I got diagnosed with breast cancer. As a former innovator in IBM, I discovered a broken piece going through the journey of breast cancer. And that is when I woke up, I had this thing called mastectomy surgery, removal of both breasts, brutal surgery, terrible for the mind, body, and spirit. I was offered a pair of safety pins to hold the medical drains. And I was told, just bring like your husband's dress shirt. And I'm going to tell you from a spiritual point of view, it's not cute anymore to wear your husband's dress shirt when you've had such a bad surgery. Mm. So to me, it was very demoralizing. And I'm just like, wow, is this what you offer people in this day and age? I need post, you know, post-mastectomy, post-surgery clothing. I need some help here. And then I started getting mad because I'm like, hey, a sprained elbow gets a sling without even asking. I'm having this brutal surgery and a fight for my life, and I'm offered a pair of safety pins. Doesn't feel very nurturing or loving to me. Mm. And I'm like, I wonder if I can change this for other people. Mm. And so, like, in the wheelchair, I'm a God girl, so I literally had like a big prayer and almost like an out-of-body thing. I'm going to change this for other people.
Okay.
Because it can't just be me going through this. So because I'm passionate about youth, I decided to start a company with only $1,000 to not use my own resources and see if I can help 100 patients in Austin, Texas with this concept I had, which is basically adaptive clothing to hold the medical drains and make me look like a person, not a science experiment. That was my passion in my heart. Problem is, I failed home ec. I didn't fail any other subject in the whole world. It was a sewing bottom bobber thing. It just wasn't working out for me. But I persevered and got a prototype done, which means my first test. And then I got it manufactured. And then I started with my vision to do help 100 patients. And I'm just going to say I have been blessed, and I believe God has blessed me. My solution has now helped 150,000 souls.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and all guerrilla marketing. So I didn't do any of the funnels and the drops and the clickbait and all that. I wanted to know, if you believe in something, would you actually share the story? Would you share it because without being paid? Just, do you believe in it? And that is what I'm doing with Not On Our Watch. Mm. We're here, board members, to also help our children. So that is my story with Heal and Comfort. And now I'm bringing technology into the shirt. The shirt's actually going to be stimulating healing. Mm. I just had the very first sample in my hands 3 days ago. I've been looking for 12 years. So instead of just the physical solution, it now radiates your body heat, puts it back into its FIR energy, which is like the red lights people put in to help detox and things. It converts naturally. So the shirt's going to be healing while you're recovering and making you look like a person, not a science experiment.
Dang.
And hold your equipment. Yes, sir.
Hold up.
That's what I'm doing.
That's a hell of a shirt.
That's kind of a cool shirt. But wait, there's more.
I know.
Yeah, that's the idea. I just wanted to be fully inclusive. What is this solution able to do for the patients?
I love that.
Thank you.
I think that's very cool, very innovative, and you're just solving a problem that you saw. And reminds me actually a little bit of Chris Gronkowski, different scale, but essentially he made like the world's best cup.
Yeah.
The ice shaker, and he saw that shaker bottles were plastic, so they wouldn't keep your shake cold.
Right.
They would sweat.
All the irritating things.
Stinky on the inside. So anyway, he made a better cup. Anyway, so I think it's pretty cool what you've done. You've taken a problem, and you're just making the perfect solution for
it. Well, my soapbox is I believe everyone has fabulous solutions and ideas in their head. And so when I work with Rebecca or speak for her, who's our keynote speaker today, I encourage everybody listening to get your ideas out of your head onto paper and make something. It doesn't matter. Give it a go. Mm-hmm. Have a look at it. Something to touch. Can you imagine if everybody in America contributed just one solution, one idea? That is like so fun to think about.
Let's talk about the solution here for the big issue of the event today.
Sure.
Not On Our Watch, Texas. It's a group designed to bring awareness to, you know, families about child sex trafficking and online extortion of children and all these different things. So what are some ideas that you've had to help reduce? I don't know if it's something we can necessarily solve altogether, but, you know, if we can reduce the rates, I mean, I think they're growing, are they not?
It's the fastest growing, disgusting, horrific business around the world, not just here.
Right.
It's around the world.
But Texas is a hot spot.
It's a hot spot.
And isn't the number one consumer of all this stuff?
It's really still hard for me to hear these things, but yes, you're correct with those statistics.
And it doesn't really shock me when I think about it because I listened to Tony Robbins, and he was talking about good times create weak people. Weak people create bad times. Bad times create strong people. And strong people create great times. So it actually goes in a cycle. And I think we've had some great times that have created some weak people.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what we're seeing here in America. I think the country overall, like people are weak-minded. Not everybody, obviously, when I say that. I'm saying these predators. I think we got a lot of weak people in this society. And it's been, and I think it's stemmed from some of the great times we've had as a country. And so, anyways, it doesn't shock me to know that we're the number one consumer of this disgusting thing. It doesn't shock me.
It's shocking when you think of them as children, though.
Absolutely.
It's not just people looking at pornography.
Oh, it's disgusting.
These are babies.
Right.
So their moral compass is not only broken, they're following a different calling of, like, it is horrific. So
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then, like, you see the, recently the Jeffrey Epstein list is coming out with all these people that were involved in all of that, the island and da-da-da-da-da. I mean, it's here. It's here, and I think it goes all the way up into government and everything.
It does indeed.
I mean, it's here, and so what do you think we can do, the average everyday person can do, or what are some of your big ideas that you have?
Well, I love that question, Trevor, because I'm just going to tell you I've been approached probably 5 different times to be on a something-something task force, do-to-do, get the ideas out, and I can't. Mm. It's too much, because it stirs up so much anger in me that I'm not walking in like peace, because I already help cancer patients every day, and that's kind of, so I was like, I'm always saying no. LB said, this is what I see, this is a vision that I see that we need to do. And I think right away, we're stopping the feeder program. Okay, so everybody will watch a movie and they'll say, but my child isn't going to run away. My child, so they can easily put it away in a compartment, right? This is what I love about Not On Our Watch. I love the fact that when we say keeping our children safe, we're not just saying like the old days, watch out for that white van that's circling the neighborhood, right?
Yep.
Because that was a tangible thing you could look at.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that white van is now inside the cell phone. Yeah. And so parents are so overwhelmed, and it's so much to even concern themselves with. What I love about Not On Our Watch, we're sounding the alarm. We're creating a community to sound the alarm. What does that do? Well, when people actually hear that it is in your home, stop thinking it's like
another area
and all this. It is in your home. When you take that kind of responsibility, what can you do about it? It seems too overwhelming, right? But if you understand what to look for, what to ask your child, and if you're seeing odd things coming over while you're playing a game, you need to report that to mom and dad, because that's a bad guy. He's broken in there. But you have to have that conversation.
Yeah.
So the children are embarrassed, because sometimes those creeps are sending pornography to our children, right? And they're just like, oh, and I'm telling mom, she won't let me play my game. This is what happens in the mind of a child. So what I love about what we're doing is it's like stopping the feeder program, because we're cutting it at the beginning.
Mm.
We need still boots on the ground to go in and rescue our babies that are trapped, okay? For sure. But what I love about Not On Our Watch is we are a community sounding the alarm.
Mm.
And all you need to do to be part of our community is sound the alarm for your people, your friends, your community. Oh, we start a whole movement of watchful people, right? And it's not so scary, because some of the movements are just like, people are like, oh, I don't want to know about that, right?
Yeah.
We are creating something that's doable. And so incredibly impactful, because it's in your home.
Mm.
You tuck your child to bed.
Yeah.
And they're in their palm of their hands.
Yeah, and it's scary when you hear some of the stories about, what was the gentleman where his son just went you know, to bed, and then he got a reached out to through, I think, Instagram or whatever, by somebody that was pretending to be a girl, and
they all are,
you know, and yeah. And then there's the communication, and in one night he was getting sextortion. He's getting extorted, and they're threatening him that if he doesn't, you know, pay him $1,000 or whatever,
and expose him, shame him,
tell all his friends and family. And the kid ended up committing suicide that night. It happened so fast
that, and he's like a football player and a star athlete, and he has
the story just breaks your heart. And so those are the types of things that I think, you're right, awareness for parents. Because if they think, like, you, to your point, if it's way out here, you know, this problem that's kind of like...
You see a movie and you're like, I don't live in the Congos.
Yeah,
you
know? We it's kind of like, you see on the news, you see a tornado goes through a village, but mm-hmm. you're like, that's not my village, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
it's
I might away. Still send money, I might still, I care
right.
for a nanosecond until the next disaster show. Right now, we're mm-hmm. bombarded, what is it? How many 50,000 bombardments a day trying mm-hmm. to get our attention?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it is in your home. Like, the last event that I went to really opened my eyes to how big of scale and mm-hmm. how some of the officers who are undercover, mm-hmm. they say that, I can't remember the exact numbers, but how quickly they are being... When they go online and pretend they're a kid.
Yeah. Oh, the right? hits.
Yep, they get hit up so quickly. And it's like, okay, when I heard the stats from the last event, it made me think there's no doubt in my mind that there's... I bet every kid has been approached
at some point. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
And maybe, you know, it wasn't successful. It wasn't a successful approach. But think about... How many times do we get spammy messages?
Correct.
All the time.
All
you get
the time.
Spammy
How about
phone
the tracking
calls.
They do for advertising?
You know, they're trying to sell you a warranty or whatever. You know, your car's always. Out of warranty or whatever. Yep. You know, they're trying to, there's always some kind of scam.
They're tracking.
Gimmicky thing that's going on. And it's happening to the kids too.
Yes. And I like to define harm. Because what I love about Not On Our Watch is we are sounding the alarm to keep the children safe. What does that mean? Are they locked in their house? They're away from their white van? Mm. What is harm? Harm isn't just the obvious. They got kidnapped, they're gone, whatever. That's horrible, right? Harm is what they're flashing before our children's eyes. That's harm.
Yeah.
So when we say we're keeping them safe, why we are effective and why we're doing something that everybody can do is you must stop that harm. When children are approached by pornography very young, it frightens them. It's scary. Of course, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
But we don't know what it's doing to their little brains as they're trying to be.
I can't even imagine. Like, I was a pretty wild child, and I had a lot of looseness growing up. Got in a lot of trouble. And I can only imagine what I would have done if I'd had one of these things. It'd probably destroy my life. Because I did not have the control back then, and
but children don't. They don't.
And
people
so,
think they're little human, little adults. They're not.
This is powerful. This is you know, adults abuse these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're putting the power,
you know,
in the hands of these children, and expecting them to just.
Use their cognitive skills, which they do not have formed, their frontal lobules not even connected, and make rational decisions that adults can't even make.
They're getting hit with little dopamine hits from all the interactions,
Absolutely.
You know, the social likes and all this kind of stuff. For me personally, I think that there's a restriction, age restrictions on rated R movies. There's age restrictions on, you know, when you can drive a car, when you can get a tattoo, when you can smoke a cigarette, when you can drink alcohol.
And you can be enlisted to fight.
There should be an age restriction on these devices as well, is my personal opinion. Like, I don't think, anyways, I know a lot of parents don't like that because it's easier to give the kid the device, especially when the kid's throwing a fit. Give them the device, and this is now the parent. Right, and they can just zone out, and you don't have to listen to the kid.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, the kid's acting up. Here, take this. Shut up.
There's definitely a lot of people that do that.
Yeah.
Because it's
easier.
Yeah, but the friction is so hard because in school all their friends have one. And did you get on Instagram? Did you see my hair?
It has to be. And I'm not for regulation. I'm not all about.
It's just age appropriate, like driver's ed. You need to learn driver's ed of social media.
I'm sorry, but this is okay. Why is there a restriction on driving a car at 16? Why?
Yeah.
Because it's dangerous. This is too.
And
it's dangerous.
That's right.
So. And we've seen the dangers of this. We know we have the stats on what this device can do. So why not put an age to, or my other idea that I had was creating specific devices. You know how they have like a child settings on them?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But what if the device itself was locked down?
Yep. Like instead of a toggle switch, you mean, that it can come off and on?
Correct.
Yeah, I know, but yeah.
Yeah, what if it was throttled down, like if it was a kid device made by Samsung or Apple or whatever, and it's for the kids that are underneath that age, and then when you get to this age, now you have the option to...
It's like putting a child in student driver. And it should be wrapped in bubble wrap, right?
Because
here they go, they're going down the street.
That's right.
And
that's right.
You know, their decision making is not as solidified as an adult, even though the adults actually aren't very good role models right now. So I'm so passionate about Not on Our Watch, and I'm proud to serve on the board because I believe with all my heart, if we redefine what harm is, we stop just people saying, "Oh, I don't live in the Congo," or my child's not going to run away. So, and that my kid will never be looking at that. Okay. So they do.
Yeah.
And the harm, the definition of harm is what the predators are grooming the children. If they see a particular item 14 times, 25 times, it's no longer shocking.
Right.
So they're literally changing their brain activity on response to this particular pornography look.
Right.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, my older brother sent that to me. Isn't that funny? Oh, my gosh. It's weird. They do all these tricks.
I can't even imagine. Like, again, I'm just putting myself at my mindset and who I was at 13 years old. Like, I was a felon at 13 years old. I made a lot of mistakes very, very early. Okay.
A lot of kids are, but they didn't get caught. So
correct.
There's that.
That's true. That's true. But I was into some stuff. Okay, and if I'd have had this kind of power, mm-hmm. it's just not right. So that's why I know I wouldn't have had the discipline at all to have handled it. So I appreciate what you're doing. I think you guys have an amazing cause here, and I want to support it. And that's why I'm here. So.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you, and thanks for coming on the show and sharing. And where do we go pick up this amazing shirt?
It's not out yet.
It's
only been on the planet. The first one ever held was only 3 days ago.
Oh, sweet.
But I've waited for 12 years to find a technology that did not interject energy, copper wires, because there's pacemakers and things like that. So this is your own body energy creating into a healing. You don't outgas.
That's amazing.
It keeps it inside. I know. I'm
How
pretty
do
excited.
We? What do you need? What is something that would help that be more successful?
I'm going to. They just got the material people. Just got the ones who own the textile. Just got signed on with NASA. So NASA's already done its due diligence.
Dang.
So then I'm going to bring that technology.
Big time. You got NASA in there?
The patients.
Okay.
So this is the part of the journey of solutions. So I'm only in that beginning. Oh my gosh, I'm holding the first one.
That's
and that
so
only
cool.
happened 3 days ago. LB held it too.
Amazing.
But as far as our kids, honestly, be part of our community. I am asking, I am praying, come be a part of our community. We just want to sound the alarm. It is happening in our homes. It is happening in our communities. And our state is out of control with this problem. We must all band together like mama bears and papa bears, and we must understand what we're up against. And I just ask, please join Not on Our Watch. Be part of the solution people, the people that are trying to make a difference. We will make a difference because we're going to stop it in its tracks, kill their tactics, their evil, creepy tactics that are approaching our children every minute of every day. And that is what we're stopping. So, on our watch.
Let's go. Head on over to notonourwatchtexas.com. Is that correct?
Yeah, .org.
.org. Y'all heard it. Notonourwatchtexas.org. Get part of the initiative, okay? Yep. And you don't have to live in Texas either. If you're watching the show.
Oh, we're coming to your state. No, we're moving.
We're coming. Okay, but listen, you can get involved now.
Yes.
Okay, you don't have to just be part of Texas.
Just go to the website.
Yep.
Click. Let us know you're out there. You're now on the team. The team that's going to be making a difference to helping our children stay safe. That's it.
Yeah, Californians, you can come too. It's cool. We'll accept you. It's fine.
It's his show, so yeah. He said that. I didn't say that.
All right, guys. Well, that's the show. It's all about who you know. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Who You Know Show podcast. My name is Trevor Houston, and if you've enjoyed this episode, consider subscribing wherever you listen and leave us a positive review to help us keep the mics on in the studio. Until next week, that's the show. It's all about who you know.